The basement smells of floor wax and old hymnals. It is a thick, sweet scent that settles in the back of my throat. It never leaves. I wake up with the taste of it. I go to sleep with the weight of it. There are no windows down here. I measure the passage of time by the sound of footsteps on the floorboards above my head. On Sundays, the footsteps are heavy and rhythmic. They move in unison. They stand. They sit. They kneel. I kneel too, but not because the priest tells me to. I kneel because the ceiling is low and my back is tired. Today is day 1000. I know this because I have a calendar. It is a small promotional one from a grocery store in Montreal. I have marked every single day with a black pen. Each mark is a small strike against the white paper. 1000 strikes. 1000 days of waiting for a man in a suit to tell me if my daughter and I are allowed to exist in the daylight. The radiator clanks. It is a sharp metallic sound that echoes in the small room we call our own. This room used to be a storage closet for choir robes. Now it holds two cots and everything we own in the world. My daughter, Elena, is still sleeping. She is 7 now. She was 4 when we crossed the border. She does not remember the heat of San Salvador. She does not remember the sound of the rain on a tin roof. She only knows the hum of the industrial heater and the way the light looks when it filters through the stained glass in the sanctuary upstairs. I watch her breathe. Her chest rises and falls. She is safe here. That is what I tell myself every morning. The police cannot come inside the church. The border agents cannot drag us out of a house of God. That is the law of sanctuary. It is an old law. It is a fragile law. I stand up and stretch. My joints pop. The air in the basement is always damp. It gets into your bones. I walk to the small sink in the corner and splash cold water on my face. The mirror is cracked. It splits my reflection in two. I look older than 32. My skin is pale. I have lost the color that the sun used to give me. I hear the heavy door at the top of the stairs creak open. It is Father Mark. He comes down every morning at 7 o'clock. He brings a bag of bread and a carton of milk. He is a kind man, but his eyes are full of a tiredness that mirrors my own. He stops at the bottom of the stairs. He does not knock because there is no door to our room, only a heavy velvet curtain. "Isabel," he says quietly. I step out from behind the curtain. "Good morning, Father." He hands me the bag. The bread is warm. It is the best part of the day. "Any news?" I ask. I ask this every day. It is a ritual. He looks at the floor. "The backlog in Quebec is growing, Isabel. The news says there are 50,000 people waiting. The system is paralyzed. They are prioritizing the new arrivals from the winter surge. But I have been here for 1,000 days. I say. My voice is thin. It sounds like paper tearing. "I know," he says. "I am calling the lawyer again this afternoon. We are trying to get a fixed date for the hearing, but the government is under pressure. They are clearing the hotels first. The churches are, they are not on the list. Because we are invisible," I say. "Because you are safe," he corrects me. "Safe is a word that people use when they have never been trapped. I am safe from the gangs. I am safe from the men who took my husband, but I am not safe from the clock. The clock is eating me alive." Elena wakes up. She sits up on the cot and rubs her eyes. She sees Father Mark and smiles. She likes him. He brought her a box of crayons last month. She has used them to draw pictures on the back of the church bulletins. She draws trees with blue leaves and houses with yellow doors. She draws things she cannot see. "Good morning, Elena," Father Mark says. "Morning," she chirps. He nods to me and heads back up the stairs. The door clicks shut. The sound of the lock is final. I sit on the edge of the cot and break a piece of bread for Elena. She eats it slowly. She is used to small portions. She is used to the silence. "Mama," she says, "can we go to the park today?" "Not today, mi amor." "When?" "Soon," I say. Soon is a lie that has stretched for 3 years. In 2026, the word soon has no meaning in the province of Quebec. The borders are tight. The administrative buildings are overflowing with files. We are just a number in a stack of paper. File number QC7742. That is who I am. I spend the morning cleaning. I scrub the floors of the basement hall. I polish the brass railings. It is the work I do to pay for our stay. The church does not ask for money, but I cannot live here for free. I cannot be a burden. My pride is the only thing I have left that hasn't been dampened by the basement air. Around noon, the lawyer calls the landline in the hallway. I run to answer it. Isabel? It is Sarah. Her voice sounds rushed. There are sirens in the background of her office. Yes, I am here. I talked to the registrar, Sarah says. They've moved the hearing again. My heart drops. To when? They aren't giving a date. They said the file is being transferred to a secondary review unit. Because of the length of the stay, they want to re-verify the original claim details. Re-verify? I told them everything. I gave them the police reports. I showed them the scars. I know, Isabel. But the political climate has shifted. There is a move to fast-track deportations for anyone who hasn't had a hearing within 2 years. They are calling it the efficiency mandate. But I want a hearing, I scream into the phone. I have been waiting for the hearing. It is not my fault they are slow. Sarah sighs. I'm fighting it. I've filed a stay of proceedings based on the length of the delay, but I need you to stay inside. Do not leave the church property for any reason. If you are picked up on the street, I can't protect you from an immediate removal order. I hang up the phone. My hands are shaking. 1,000 days. I walk back to the storage room. Elena is sitting on the floor, playing with a pile of buttons she found in a jar. She is sorting them by color. Red. White. Black. She looks up at me. Mama, why are you crying? I am not crying, I say. I wipe my eyes with the back of my hand. The skin is rough. I sit down next to her. I pick up a red button. It is bright and shiny. It looks like a drop of blood. In San Salvador, I worked in a bakery. I smelled like sugar and cinnamon. I had a husband who laughed when he danced. We had a small house with a garden. We had a life. Then the letters started coming. The demands for money. The threats. Then the night the men came. I remember the cold air of the mountain as we ran. I remember the weight of Elena against my chest. I remember the feeling of the border under my feet. I thought the hard part was over. I thought the running was the struggle. I was wrong. The running is easy. It is the standing still that breaks you. In the afternoon, the rain starts. I can hear it hitting the small high vents near the ceiling. It is a dull thudding sound. I go to the kitchen to prepare a small meal. We have rice and beans. It is the same meal we had yesterday. It is the same meal we will have tomorrow. A woman named Sophie comes into the kitchen. She is a volunteer with the refugee committee. She is young and wears a bright yellow raincoat. She looks like the world outside. She looks like wind and fresh air. How are you today, Isabel? She asks. She puts a bag of groceries on the counter. I am 1,000 days old today, I say. She pauses. She looks at me with pity. I hate the pity. It feels like a weight. I'm so sorry, she says. We are organizing a protest at the immigration office on Friday. We are bringing pictures of the families in sanctuary. Can I use a photo of you and Elena? No, I say. She looks surprised. Why not? It would help the cause. I am not a cause, I say. I am a woman. My daughter is a child. I do not want our faces on a sign. I want to be in the room. I want to speak to the judge. I want to tell them that my life is not a backlog. Sophie looks at her shoes. I understand, she says. I'm sorry. She leaves the groceries and slips away. People like Sophie think they are helping. They think that if they yell loud enough, the government will listen. But the government is a machine. It does not have ears. It only has gears. And the gears are stuck. The evening comes. The church gets quiet. The footsteps above disappear. The lights in the main sanctuary are turned off. I take Elena up to the sanctuary. We are allowed to go up there after the doors are locked to the public. The space is massive. The ceiling disappears into the shadows. The stained glass windows are dark now, but they still hold a faint glow from the street lights outside. Elena runs down the aisle. Her footsteps echo. She pretends she is a princess in a castle. She spins in circles until she gets dizzy and falls onto the carpet. I sit in the front pew. I look up at the crucifix. "Are you watching?" I ask. The statue does not answer. It is made of wood and paint. I think about the people outside. They are driving home from work. They are deciding what to watch on television. They are complaining about the traffic or the price of gas. They do not know that 20 feet below the sidewalk, a woman is disappearing. I feel like a ghost. I have no ID that works. I have no bank account. I have no right to work. I am a shadow living in the belly of a building. If I walk out the front door right now, I will be free. I can breathe the air. I can see the moon. But within an hour, a cruiser will pull up. They will ask for my papers. They will see the red flag on my file. They will take me to the detention center in Laval. They will put me on a plane. And then Elena will see what I have been hiding from her. I walk over to her and pick her up. She is getting heavy. She is growing, even if our lives are not. "Time for bed," I say. We go back down to the basement. I tuck her into the cot. She falls asleep quickly. She is young enough that her mind still lets her escape. I sit at the small desk and open my calendar. Day 1000. I pick up the pen. I want to write something. I want to record this moment. But there are no words for this feeling. It is not anger. It is not sadness. It is a hollow space where my soul used to be. I look at the wall. There is a small crack in the plaster. I have been watching it for 3 years. It has grown by an inch. It is the only thing in this room that is moving forward. I hear a noise. It is a soft tapping at the basement vent. I freeze. My heart begins to race. I walk to the vent and look up. Through the narrow slit, I can see the sidewalk. I see a pair of boots. They are black and polished. I hold my breath. Is it them? Have they finally come to take us? The boots move away. It was just a passerby. Someone walking their dog. Someone going home. I sink to the floor. My heart is pounding against my ribs. This is the sanctuary. It is a place where you are safe from the world. But you are never safe from the fear of the world. I realize then that Sarah was right. The ending is not going to be a victory. Even if they say I can stay, I have already lost. I have lost 3 years of my life. Elena has lost her childhood. We have been preserved like insects in amber. We are perfect and still and dead. I look at my hands. They are steady now. I reach out and touch the calendar. I turn the page. The next month is blank. No marks, no strikes, just white squares. I wonder if I will fill them all. I wonder if I will be here for day 2000. I think about the people in the office in Montreal. I think about the man with my file. Does he know that I am sitting here? Does he know that I am counting the minutes? Or am I just a piece of paper that fell behind a desk? The radiator clanks again. The sound is like a bell. I lie down on my cot. I don't take off my shoes. I haven't slept without my shoes in a long time. You have to be ready to run, even when there is nowhere to go. I close my eyes and try to imagine the sun. I try to remember the heat on my face, but all I can feel is the dampness of the basement. All I can smell is the floor wax. I am Isabel. I am file QC7742. I am still here. I am waiting for the world to remember I exist. The silence of the church is heavy. It presses down on me. It is the sound of 1,000 days of nothing. I breathe in. I breathe out. Tomorrow will be day 1001. I will wake up. I will eat the bread. I will scrub the floor. I will wait for the lock to turn. And I will hope that when it finally does, I still remember how to walk in the light.